The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And welcome back as we continue here on a Thursday afternoon. We were talking to Trey. He was telling us about his breathing problems. Trey, we still have you, so keep going.
Well, yes, sir. And I just want to let everybody know out there, excuse me if I get a little upset, that when we're feuding with people, we need to try to make amends. Pick up the phone and tell your family and friends how much you love them, and life is precious, Paul. And I've been able to listen to your show, but I haven't been able to call in. I'm doing a lot better, but and I love you, and I love your show, and I love all the callers. But I wanted to ask you a basketball question, and my basketball question would be: Alabama's doing very well in basketball. Tennessee's doing very well. Who do you see challenging Alabama? Because I see possibly two losses out there at Auburn and at Tennessee, and they're back-to-back on the road. And I appreciate everything you do for everybody, but I just want everybody to realize we all need to do better and never take life for granted. And thank you for taking my call, Paul.
Trey, thank you. We'll be thinking of you. And I think you nailed it. The SEC is very good in basketball this year, but the schools at the top are really in a different league. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. And it is tough. We've known Trey a long time, and all we can do is pull for him and as he works his way through this, which I think sounds very difficult, but let's hope. Derek is in Los Angeles. So hello, Derek.
Hi, Paul. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
And
thank
if Trey,
you.
If you're listening, if Trey's listening, I'm going to be keeping you lifted up in prayer. And all of your callers, Happy New Year. And God bless all of your callers and your staff. The reason I'm calling, Paul, is I'm an SC fan. Lincoln Riley is bringing back the defensive coordinator, Alex Grinch. I wanted to know your opinion on that. I was kind of leery of, especially at the beginning of the season. They were scoring so many points on us. I don't know what the recruiting and the portal is going to be for SC this year, but I wanted your opinion on what did you think about Lincoln Riley bringing back Alex Grinch as the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, on surface, it appeared to be a very short-sighted decision, but I think you have to accept a couple of things that he did not have a very good team when he took over. He made some key acquisitions, and I use that word because that's exactly what they were. When you talk about going out and getting the Biletnikoff winner in Addison and Caleb Williams, who was a Heisman, who eventually won the Heisman, but defensively they were still in bad shape. And it's always easy to load up on the defensive coordinator, and I know Alabama fans have done that, but others have as well. But I think ultimately it's a questionable decision, but I don't know. I watched a couple of their games when they absolutely were torched in the fourth quarter, which looked like it's on Grinch, but he also didn't have a lot of talent there. Thank you very much for the call. Jeremy is in Alabama, and you are up next. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, how you doing today, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I was going to ask you, do you think that Jeremy Pruitt might be the next DC at Alabama? And if Bill O'Brien leaves, who do you think will replace him as OC of Alabama?
Yeah, as far as O'Brien, we heard Jeff Lebby's name mentioned here last night from Pete Thamel. As far as Jeremy Pruitt, I still don't know really where Nick Saban's mindset is in terms of whether he can or cannot hire Jeremy Pruitt. I know one thing, Jeremy Pruitt is easily the best defensive coordinator available. So if there is a green light on Jeremy Pruitt, then I don't know why you wouldn't hire him.
Do you think that maybe he goes to the NFL, which I don't know if he would, but maybe somebody like Lovie Smith or Cliff Kingsbury maybe for OC?
I don't think Kingsbury's in the work. And no, I think Nick Saban would. One thing about Nick Saban, if you look at his defensive coordinators, most have been people he feels very comfortable with. He had Kirby Smart. Kevin Steele was before that. And he went to Jeremy Pruitt and then to Pete Golden. So, yeah, there's a lot of people. I was reading something, I think it was by Aaron Suttles, who said that he said that Suttles reported in The Athletic that Saban did not want Golden to leave. That's, you know, I know most of us assumed he should go, but that's just an assumption. There was some connection between those two that I've never been able to understand. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Alex is in South Bend. Alex, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Very well. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to say, yeah, what is your take on Notre Dame? You know, coming from South Bend, you know, I've been a very frustrated fan lately with everything that's going on. But do you think Notre Dame, will they have better success than independent? Or do you think that in order for them to have success that they should join a conference?
I've always felt like they should be in a conference because, you know, they in the past, it has hurt them. Now, they've been to the playoffs twice during the CFP, once when they were piggybacked in the ACC and the other time when they got in as an independent. The reality, though, is after next year, it won't make any difference because with the 12-team playoff, Notre Dame will be able to get in the playoff with much more regularity. And there will be some stipulations, as you know, because they don't play a conference game. But I just think they would be better served to be in a conference than to play this convoluted schedule that they do every year.
Okay, thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean they play five games in the ACC. I mean sometimes they get very fortunate on what those five are, and then some years they could be at Clemson or at Florida State or somewhere else. It just depends. Bubba is up next. Hey, Bubba.
Hey, Paul. I had a stroke, so I can't talk funny, so please bear with me.
You sound great. Thank you.
I've got a son who's got cerebral palsy. He's 33, but he's like a 10-year-old. And he listens to your show every day, and sometimes you make him cry when you say things about Alabama. I understand it, but he doesn't. And I just want to say, despite that, we want to commend you on how you handled Iman the other day. He shares some hateful things about Alabama. He's a small man, and you really handled it well. We thank you.
Hey, Bubba, what's your son's name?
Benji.
Well, my dad's name was Benjamin, so I can relate to that name. Benji, let me say this to you about Alabama. I spent most of my life in the state. I have great love and affection for that university and for Coach Saban and his staff. And I want you to know that I say things about Alabama sometimes only because we're describing what we have seen, not because of any personal animus. So I do not want you to take my thoughts on Alabama the wrong way. I think we all know they are the standard in college football.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much, Bubba. You take care of yourself, too. Let's check out AJ in Alabama. Hello, AJ.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. I hope you're having a great day.
We're doing great.
Hey, I want to get your take on the, it's a big story with the $13 million debacle with a young man, the quarterback down in, Florida. Seems to be a bigger story. But there, in my opinion, there's even a bigger story out there in Colorado yet to secure the funds for Deion's contract, Coach Sanders.
Well, I have not heard that. That's interesting.
I just wanted to ask you. It's very interesting. I want to get your opinion on, is this what we can expect in going forward in this new culture of football? Do we need to start doing the credit check program?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, as far as we're about to learn more about the Florida situation. And I know what I've read And Doering will be here in a minute, and I look forward to hearing from him. I did not know about the Deion situation. I always thought Deion was making a peculiar move going to Colorado. I know that it was a startup, right. And it was the best offer he had. He's such a dynamic individual that I hate to see him. I hate to. What do they call those things in the strip mall where you get money? Those little stores you go in and try to get small amounts of money.
I'm throwing a blank.
Yeah,
there.
The loan place. The payday loans. I mean, I hate to see Deion.
Right.
I hate to see Deion in a Denver pawn shop, trading in his Braves glove for so he can get paid.
That's hilarious.
Mr. Prime, what do you got there? I got my Braves outfit. I got my Cowboys jersey. Got my Super Bowl rings. And this is just
I'll put my signature.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see Coach Prime. And here's a signed copy of a DVD of my new Netflix special. We'll take a break. Chris Doering will join us right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and we appreciate all of you being here. So what is going on with this Rashada case, and what impact will it have on college football and the University of Florida specifically? Let's go to talk to somebody who understands that school very well, one of its most famous football players, Chris Doering. Chris, thanks so much. Just your reaction so far. We don't know everything, but from what you know, how would you encapsulate this drama?
I would encapsulate it as saying embarrassing. I mean, it's embarrassing to me as an alum. It's embarrassing to the school. I think it's embarrassment for the state of college football right now. I mean, the idea, and I said this the other day on our show on SiriusXM, like, I played at the University of Florida. I grew up loving the University of Florida. I am not naive to the fact that things have changed. I know I don't want to be the old guy here talking about the way it used to be, but I still think there needs to be something that connects you to the school that you go play at, more so than just the financial aspect of it. I mean, look at Texas A&M. They put together a tremendous recruiting class based upon the rankings. And, you know, that was an absolute debacle between the culture that seems to be missing there. Guys missing curfew the night before the Miami game, reports about dudes smoking weed in the locker room, just guys transferring away. Like, there has to be something that connects players to the university that they go play at. Now, you know, if you're talking about bringing a guy in from California to come play at the University of Florida, and he loved the school and always wanted to be a Gator, maybe that works. But I have a hard time believing that this was going to work to begin with. But I think there's so many places to point blame, including starting with the NCAA for not having more foresight about this long ago. That ship has certainly sailed. But where we are now, somebody needs to provide leadership. And I think in the case of this Jaden Rashada situation, there was no leadership provided. You know, from the Fox News report, this NIL deal with the Gator Collective was canceled on December 7th. Signing day is not till December 21st. Who were the adults that were telling Jaden Rashada to either sign or not sign with the University of Florida based upon promised money. Now, I know on good source that the money that we're talking about is in that range that's been reported. And so how do we get to this point where we're offering guys that have not even played a down of college football more money than – remember, everybody was fired up about the seven-figure contract that supposedly was in place for Bryce Young when Coach Saban announced that a couple years ago. Now we're talking about, you know, potentially 13 times that for a high school player. Just none of it makes sense whatsoever.
I think everyone agrees with that part of it. Let's talk about the Florida card here. They clearly got him. The reports were against Miami. Can you go back in that moment? And because, you know, the NCAA issue is a totally separate story, but I think a lot of Florida fans were frustrated when they didn't get him. They were relieved when they did. And you tell me where they are right now.
I mean, I think there's a lot of Florida fans that are turned off to the situation now. I think a lot of them want the University of Florida to release him from his NLI. I think that what it comes down to is something we've talked about a lot in the past. Recruiting is just a way to keep score in the offseason. You know, it's a way to compete with other schools. And certainly there's a lot of competition here in the state of Florida with John Ruiz down at Miami, what he's committed in terms of allocating his money to helping with NIL deals. So the level has been raised here. And I think what you're seeing are too many cooks in the kitchen, guys, you know, doing things on their own, not having a whole lot of continuity and direction and focus. And, you know, I think at this point, all parties would be best served to go in different directions. I can't imagine that having Jaden Rashad on campus would be good for him, the kid feeling some resentment towards the university and what he feels has been a deal that's been reneged on. I imagine that there'd be a lot of fans that are turned off by the amount of money that we're talking about here being paid to a high school kid. And I certainly imagine there's some resentment among the teammates if, in fact, he were to come to campus and make that kind of money, again, based upon what he's done as a high school player.
Talking to Chris Doering, let's move Rashad off the conversation for a minute, because that will be resolved, and whatever happens is his problem. The problem that a lot of people still are wondering about is at the University of Florida, and Billy Napier was hired to resurrect this program. Where is that project right now?
Yeah, I think people didn't nearly realize just how extensive this rehab project was. You know, I think the worst thing that could have happened for Florida was winning that game against Utah. I think it set an unrealistic expectation of what the season could have held. I certainly believe Florida fell below what they could have achieved. After beating Texas A&M, you know, you looked at the final month of the season, looked like four very winnable games. Florida ends up losing to Vanderbilt and finishing the season off with a loss to Florida State. And you finish at 6-6, 6-7 with a horrific bowl appearance out in the Vegas Bowl. So I think there's a lot of negativity amongst the fan base. The signing class was one that I think gave people a lot of hope. But I think in contrast to the other program that hired a new coach this past season with LSU and Brian Kelly, that roster had a lot more SEC top tier talent on it than what Florida's did. And I think that's why you've seen so much attrition. A lot of people freaking out about the number of guys in the transfer portal. I can tell you again from good sources that those coaches were happy to see a lot of those guys go. They either didn't have the top tier talent that you need in the SEC, or they weren't guys that fit the culture of what Billy Napier is trying to build. I'm a big Billy Napier fan. I love his coaching staff. I think they've got a great plan in place. And the key word, which fans don't want to hear, is that P word, patience.
Well, yeah. Chris, good luck on trying to sell any fan base patience, including especially the University of Florida. What's the quarterback situation look like right now?
I mean, I think there's a lot of people that are questioning the Graham Mertz move. There was a lot of different quarterbacks available. There were some folks that were excited potentially about Walker Howard. I don't know how realistic that ever was. But you look at Miller, who returns, didn't play much last year, got his first start in that Vegas Bowl against Oregon State. He's a guy that I have to imagine would be, you know, in the at least the front runner right now. And Graham Mertz coming over for Wisconsin. I do believe, again, in talking with some of the coaches, that they feel like he's a good fit for what they want to do offensively. Has even been more of a surprise in terms of his abilities once they've seen him in person on campus. So I'm optimistic, although I understand why fans are a little frustrated that there wasn't a bigger splash made in the transfer portal, not only at the quarterback position, at some other positions as well.
Chris, we know who will be favored to win the East. That's obvious. Who would you pick right now as the most likely contender? Is a big word. School shooting for the next spot, I should say.
In the East?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say if we're talking about the East specifically, I think it would have to be Tennessee with the what they've done to kind of set the table for continued growth with their recruiting classes. They seem to be pretty set with Joe Milton returning and the highly recruited quarterback that they're bringing in from their class. That to me would probably be the team that is the most evident. And I'm going to actually go off the rails with you a little bit here. I'm going to give you, without asking me, who my team is in the West. I honestly believe it's not Alabama that wins next year. I think it's LSU, man. I think LSU is primed to supplant the Tide in the West next year. I feel more confident about the quarterback position in Baton Rouge than I do in Tuscaloosa. And I watched that team last year kind of get better and better as the year went on. The exclamation point they put on their season in 2022 in the bowl game in Orlando, to me, was not the finale of the 2022 season. It was the start of the 2023 season. There's a lot of talent on that roster, and they're just scratching the potential, I think, with Brian Kelly in his first year.
That question was about to be asked. I appreciate you answering it without me wasting my breath. Chris Goring, thank you very much. Chris said a lot about the Rashada situation, but I think most people may be chewing on what he said about LSU supplanting, his words, Alabama in the SEC West. We'll take a short break. Much more to come, and your reaction to that right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. We'll get your reaction to all the comments that we've had from Wetzel and Doring. Let's get back to the calls. And Britt is up next. Hey, Britt.
Hey, Paul. I call in from time to time, and I want to thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk about old Auburn history when I get a chance to get in. And
of course.
I was just wanting to bring up that miracle season. Was it 82 or 83 when we should have won the national championship with Coach Dye?
That was 83. Auburn, I covered that team, so I remember it well. Auburn lost early to Texas and then went undefeated. And on the final day of the year, on January 1st, the Auburn was ranked third in the country. The number one and two teams both lost, and or maybe not lost. Maybe one number one may have tied. I can't remember exactly. And No, they both lost. I'm sorry. And the number five team overtook Auburn for the national championship.
Hey, Paul, could you briefly tell the audience who some of the teams Auburn played that year for me to call
them?
Yeah,
they played one of the, if I remember, it was one of the hardest schedules in Auburn history. I think they played Maryland.
Yes,
they
sir.
Played Texas, Florida State. Those were among that was the non-conference schedule. That was pretty
right.
Amazing. There may have been one more in there that I can't remember. Georgia Tech, I guess.
Wasn't it? That Maryland was Boomer Esiason.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That was one of the best teams I've ever seen. That was, let's see, who was that Randy Campbell quarterbacking? Bo Jackson, of course, in the backfield. I think Fullwood was in the backfield. Can't remember if Lionel James was still there or not, but that was an amazing team.
Yes, sir. And what did they play? Dan Marino in Pittsburgh that year, Paul?
I don't think so. No. Let me. I tell you what. I just found the schedule, so I will. I'll look at it quickly here as a cheat sheet. They lost to Texas at home, and then they went crazy after that. They beat Florida State. They had Georgia Tech, Maryland. That was Boomer Esiason, and
yes,
they beat Michigan on 3 Al Del Greco field goals.
I remember that.
To win the Sugar Bowl, and that was really the problem. The Sugar Bowl was going on at the same time as the Nebraska. Who was Nebraska playing? Miami. The Nebraska Miami
right.
game, and if you remember this correctly, Nebraska. Came down, Nebraska scored at the end of the game, and Tom Osborne, had he kicked an extra point, would have tied the game, and I think it would have been 31 all, and they would have won the national championship. They were by far the best team. He went for two, and they missed, and they jumped Miami over Auburn. That was Jimmy Johnson's Miami team, or Howard Schnellenberger. I can't remember. It was Howard Schnellenberger, I think.
Well, okay. Well, I appreciate you allowing me to get in, Paul. I like to call every now and then about old Auburn history, and I hope I didn't bore your audience too bad with
no, bro,
it, but
listen,
thank you for letting me in.
I mean, there. You always hear this. I used to hear this from my parents, that they can remember what they did in college or high school, but they can't remember what they did today. I still remember that season like it was yesterday. It was only... It was only 40 years ago, 39 years ago.
I'll be 58 this year, and it seems like it was yesterday to me, but it was quite a while ago. But thank you, Paul.
Hey,
and,
thank you. What is 40 years when you're having fun? It was 39 years ago that season. What day is this? Thursday. Thursday the 19th. It's still 1983 to me. John is up next. Hey, John.
Yeah, I don't know what I did 5 minutes ago, but what can I say? Hey, you had two great guest shots there, but before I do that, talk about your calls from Bubba and particularly Trey, and wish him well, but those two calls are what make your show so special.
Thank you.
And as far as Chris, I thought it was encouraging what he said about Billy Napier. I thought he covered the NIL from soup to nuts very well, and now I'm starting to believe in LSU. What's your thoughts? Oh, by the way, was there a crack in the armor yesterday with Legend that maybe it's another rebuilding year for Alabama?
Yeah, I just want to say for the record, I'm not buying all this LSU or supplanting Alabama. I think Legend's playing possum. Before you know it, we are going to make Nick Saban into the classic underdog. And, you know, this is not what Nick Saban wants to be known. Nick Saban does not want to be the underdog. He likes the role as the favorite. He likes owning college football. He does not want to hear what Doering is saying.
Yeah. And as far as what Wetzel said, I did read a Pete Thamel article earlier, it appears, and this is limited information, that Michigan self-reported violations on zooming in on a workout and some analysts down on the field coaching. And then the third item, there appears to be four, the third item was is known as Burgergate. Apparently, Jim bought a hamburger for a recruit in a restaurant at the same time. And then I don't know what the fourth violation is, but whether he was forthcoming or not, if he was, then, you know, I appreciate that he stands up for himself. But we'll have to see how that plays out. I think it's going to last well into a year.
Yeah, the one thing you don't John, is in fighting with the NCAA, you know, standing on principle is a bad thing because they have no principle. So they expect you not to have any principle. So, I mean, I do admire Harbaugh, but there may be a case where – just end it, you know, stop the bleeding and move on. Take a two-game suspension and forget about it.
Well said. Here's my request, Paul. I'm putting together my bucket list for concert tours.
Okay.
I don't know if I like old-fashioned music, so to speak. El Devo here in Louisville on the 20th of March. Do you know who they are?
El Vito?
El Devo.
Oh, El Devo. Do you know them, Randy?
No.
We don't know them.
They're a really good group. They're international.
Oh, okay.
Stevie Nicks and Billy Joel in Nashville on May 14th.
I could.
It's only a short drive away.
I could make an appearance at that concert.
And here's a good one I think you would like. We're the same age. John Mellencamp.
Yeah, I could see John.
But here's my quandary. I can drive up to Bloomington in February with my daughter, or actually in April. Or I can come down to Charlotte in early February and be part of your studio audience.
Yeah, I think you should come here. By the way, I'm old enough to remember when he was John Cougar Mellencamp.
Cougar. I mean, Randy's part of your studio audience, right?
Now that we've moved on from the last couple of years, I think we ought, we really should have a studio audience. I've argued with the bosses, and that's probably one reason why it's been unsuccessful.
Well, I thought that's what Randy did.
Well, Randy, how difficult would it be for us to set up a couple of chairs?
It wouldn't be.
Yeah, right next to him. I mean, he can't be doing the camera work. You're stationary,
no, Randy,
right?
I mean, you could do the camera work while Randy's doing whatever he's doing over there, going through some old vinyls.
Serving drinks, right.
That's a good concert
great
tour.
Great show.
I didn't realize Stevie Nicks was touring with Billy Joel. What an odd couple.
Yeah, totally. But hopefully they can both still sing. And if I don't get down there, check out John Cougar Mellencamp on the 8th down there in Charlotte.
Yeah, I'll make sure I check that out. John, thank you very much. Why did he drop the Cougar?
Marketing.
Yeah, I guess John Mellencamp sounds better. I also know this may not sound better, but we must take a break. We're coming back. Much more to go right here on a Thursday afternoon.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we'll head to Tuscaloosa in a few minutes. Stephen M. Smith joining us to get an update on what could be two open coordinator positions. There is one official opening and the other one close. Let's check in with Tim in Ohio. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, man. First time caller.
Thank you.
Hey, I was listening to your show, man, yesterday, and I've switched between the Big Ten Network and your network and the ACC Network, and I was listening to that Jim guy that called in and was saying all this stuff about you, man. I think you're one fine guy, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You are fantastic, man. I like your show very much, man. I try to watch you a little bit each day between the Big Ten Network, the ACC. But my point was, I was going to tell you, next time Jim calls in to you, tell him that Tim said from Ohio to call Mark Packer from the ACC PM network and see what Mark Packer would say to him. Mark Packer would tell him, buddy, if you don't like my show, turn the channel.
Apparently a lot of people have taken his advice. Bobby is up next in Oxford. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Paul.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. I had a couple of questions. Like, the first one is the name, image, and likeness. Why is it not being regulated? And why isn't it not being...
Well, Bobby, I think the real issue is the NCAA has a very small enforcement division. They are not really capable of doing
then somebody
this.
Somebody should be fired. Right?
Well, they just got rid of the president of the NCAA, who's really allowed this to happen on his watch. It's one of those situations that it's gotten so out of hand that there's almost nothing that can be done. The NCAA talks about enforcement, but they are not. I mean, they weren't equipped to handle the NCAA issues before NIL on June 1st of 2021. They are even less equipped to handle it today when cheating, tampering, rule breaking is pervasive everywhere. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in next with William in South Carolina. Hello, William.
What's going on, Paul? How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
So what are you thinking about Beamer ball down in Columbia, South Carolina with Antoine Wells and Rattler coming back next year?
I expect big things. Again, I mean, that team at the end of the season, the last 2 years has been pretty unbelievable to watch. And I know the bowl game got away, but I really don't even care about that. I mean, I've never seen a better – I told Shane this a couple weeks ago when we were together. I've never seen a better two-week stretch than Tennessee and Clemson in my life.
That was pretty unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's got it going. Anything I say is just going to be over the top. Vance is up next.
Hey, Paul. I kind of concur with Chris Doering, but there's one caveat to it. Who, by the way, I like him a lot. I think he's a very good analyst. But, you know, you said something kind of interesting several days back. Some caller called, because, you know, there's been a lot of conversation amongst Alabama fans about the two coordinators at Alabama. And you said, well, if Nick Saban doesn't change those guys, then that will be very telling about him. And I agreed with that 100%. And I have total faith that he will change that. And if Bill O'Brien can't find his way gently
out of Vance, there. Let me make just a quick update. Bill O'Brien was in New England today interviewing with Belichick. He will be gone. Bill O'Brien. I mean that's no longer a conversation. So I'm willing to bet you Nick Saban already has phone calls out and has already identified who he wants to be the OC.
I totally agree with that. Without knowing a thing, the man's thinking, I do. And if you're an Alabama fan, thank God for it. But another thing I wanted to bring up is you know, you just alluded to it. The NCAA walked away from any of their responsibility, involved the government, which ultimately went to the Supreme Court. And now we've got, let's be honest here, we have a bigger mess than people are even willing to talk about. $13 million potentially, if that's allegedly, to a high school. Paul, this is outrageous.
Well, Vance, it is. But I heard. I was listening to something earlier today. The president, Livingstone, she's the president of Baylor. She's the head of the NCAA now from a academic standpoint, and she said what she talked about. We have to get Congress to bail us out. I mean, that is incredibly sad to listen to learned academicians say that, but that's where we are. And it's not because they're not taking stock. I mean, they're trying to clean up a mess left behind by Mark Emmert and his minions. But don't get outraged. I mean, this is the new norm. What Florida tried to hire, they signed the guy. They knew what the price was.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.